The Lord be with you.
And
reading from Holy Gospel according to Luke. While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it, except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And there's something greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because of the preaching of Jonah they repented. And there is something greater than Jonah here." The Gospel of the Lord. Today we celebrate one of the most extraordinary women in the history of the world, and that is, of course, in the history of Catholicism. So all of us should try to get to know this great saint who is Teresa of Avila, Saint Teresa of Avila. 1515 to 1582 is a historical framework. So she's being brought up and raised during the Protestant Reformation. Woman just an extraordinary gift. She was beautiful, she was charming, she was witty, she was brilliant. She was creative. She was friendly. She had, on a human level, she had all the gifts to the highest level. Kind of like a woman John Bosco, you might say. So on a human level, just incredible gifts. But she didn't use them always well all her life. She came from a good family. Her father lost his wife and married a second time. And she really had a great love for her father, and her mother was a holy woman, but her mother had one defect. Know what it was? She liked to read telenovelas, okay? She liked to read literature, we say pulp literature. Now, it wasn't pornographic, but it was very mundane. So that was her mother's defect, because her mother had many children and she suffered a lot. So to distract herself, she would read that type of literature. And Teresa of Avila started to imitate her. So you see the influence of mothers on their children, right? You might consider, well, it wasn't really that bad. Teresa of Avila is going to be one of the greatest saints in the Catholic Church. And that didn't help her. So what happened was, Teresa of Avila went through, like Ignatius, various stages of conversion. God showed Teresa a vision of her place in hell if she didn't give that up. Read the life, if you don't believe me, no? She saw a dark alley, where she's walking down the alley with mud and these serpents and these snakes and these worms that she had to walk. And then the guardian angel said, "Stop." She looked up, and there in the wall was like an oven, a little oven like a microonda, where she would be for all eternity, suffering torture by the devils and by the fire. She gave it up. So meditation on hell, it's not a bad idea. That was one of the thrusts of my talk on Saturday. Jacinta had a vision of hell, and she was converted. So fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I come from the Bible. was the first gift of the Holy Spirit in Operation Aquinas, fear the Lord, Thomas Aquinas. Okay, then she falls into reading good literature, and she really loved to read Saint Jerome. Saint Jerome, who was the one that translated the Bible from the Greek and Aramaic into Latin. And what really impressed her by that was the importance of leaving the world. There's so many dangers in the world. So she left the world and became a Carmelite nun. But she got so sick that she almost died. They actually pronounced her dead. And if you saw the movie of Teresa of Avila, someone maybe saw the movie, they actually put the wax over her eyes, which was a sign that she was already dead. But her recovery, she would attribute to San Jose. San Jose, Saint Joseph. And she's the saint that promoted Saint Joseph, maybe most in the church, up until the 16th century. So the fact that she recovered, she thanked Saint Joseph for her recovery. Okay, then she was in the convent of the Carmelites, and there was a lot of vocation, a lot of vocations. But basically the women were, if I can say it in Spanish, ricas chismosas, okay? A group of gossipy women, and that's about the only thing they did. They would be gossiping, praying a little bit, long vacations, gossiping, luxurious eating, and that was the convent. And she was wrapped up in that for many years. Until second step of her conversion, the Ecce Homo. The Ecce Homo, which would be, she was meditating in the church, in front of the cross, and she saw Jesus with the crown of thorns on his head, and she recognized how much she was hurting Jesus by that worldly lifestyle. So that's the second conversion. So from that moment on, she started to take her spiritual life seriously. Up to that point, the big chismosa. And the thing is, she was so attractive, and she was funny, and she'd tell stories, and I mean, she attracted so many people because of these. Her human virtues were so highly developed that everyone loved her. But she was not leading them to heaven, she was leading them on the wrong path. So she goes through the conversion. Okay, her conversion results in a great desire to pray. Up to that point, basically she was kind of running away from prayer, and she was suppressing her conscience. A real desire to pray. But to grow in her prayer life, she had to have a spiritual director. She had four of the greatest spiritual directors in the history of the church. Three of them were saints, and the fourth was possibly the greatest theologian in the world back then. Who were they? John of the Cross, a Carmelite. Saint Peter of Alcantara, he was a Franciscan, who'd go sometimes 4 or 5 days without eating anything. How about that? And then, I talked about him the other day, it was feast day 3 days ago, who was a widower with 8 children. His wife died, and he became a Jesuit priest. He became the father provincial after the death of Ignatius in Polanco, and his name was Francis Borja. And who would have been possibly the greatest theologian in the world back then, do you know? San Jerónimo Gracián, who was a Dominican. He was a brilliant Dominican. So she had a Dominican, a Carmelite, a Franciscan, and a Jesuit as a spiritual direction. She hit the jackpot, didn't she? Wow. But as a result of that, as God is going to call her to do many great things, but the most important accomplishments of Teresa of Avila would be, of course, reforming the Carmelite order. So going from mediocrity into holiness. So she decided, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to reform the Carmelites. And her idea was this: instead of having a group of chismosas, 100 of them, small convents of about 12 nuns, and that was it. So just about 12. And even to this day, if you ever visit Carmelite contemplative convent, you're usually not going to get more than 12 nuns there. And that came from her. But when she wanted to do that, all hell broke loose. She was persecuted by almost everybody. She was persecuted by the Carmelites. She was persecuted by the people that lived in the town there. She was persecuted by everyone. She felt that she was alone, but there was one person that really supported her, who was Saint Peter Alcantara, okay? Especially Saint Peter Alcantara, and then eventually John the Cross too. So she persevered, and she set up convents of the Carmelites in all of Spain, in Salamanca, in Madrid, in Toledo, in all the big cities in Spain. Basically, she established a Carmelite convent which was called San Jose. So to this very day, the Carmelite contemplatives are among the most flourishing in the world, and this is about 500 years, because of one person, Teresa of Avila. Okay, but I'd have to say probably something even greater than that was that Teresa of Avila became the great doctor of prayer. So if anyone here is interested in growing in your prayer life, you have to read Teresa of Avila eventually. You have to read Teresa. She's the greatest in the Catholic Church on this topic. Okay, so having been an English major, I'll try to give you a three-minute summary of her literary works, okay? Are you listening? The first is called La Vida. La Vida, which would be her life. It's the autobiography of life, in which she basically speaks about her struggles in her prayer life. She really struggled in her prayer life, and you probably do also. So you're not alone. Teresa of Avila struggled for many years. Okay, it's called La Vida. Okay, if you want good translation, Alison Pierce and Kavanaugh, not Kavanaugh of the Supreme Justice, no? They would probably be the best translations in English, okay? I like good translations. I don't know about you people. No, bad translations, it's like your fingers on the chalkboard. Okay. Okay. The next would be Il Cammino di Perfezione. In English, the Way of Perfection, which is a commentary on the Our Father, which he wrote for the nuns, but it became universal. And then the third would be, Spanish is called Las Moradas. We translate it into English as the interior castle. Many spiritual directors say you should start with that, the interior castle. You know what that is? He gives us an analogy that our spiritual life is like a castle. The castle has different levels. So you've got outside the moat, someone who's living in mortal sin. Going beyond the moat, where you've got the alligators and the crocodiles and the toads and the frogs, okay, you get into the castle, you're in the state of grace. Then you have vocal prayer and mental prayer, and then you have affective prayer, then the prayer of the simple gaze, then you have the three different levels of what is called mystical prayer, which culminates in transforming union, in which you go through the dark night of the soul. And finally, what happens is your soul is wedded to Christ, the mystical spouse. How about that for 2 minutes of mystical theology? So a 2-minute summary of this masterpiece. She also wrote what is called Fundaciones, foundations in which she founded these convents, and she's got muchas cartas, many letters that she wrote. If you really want a good interpretation of her writing, a biblical interpretation, Father Thomas Dubé, have you heard of him? He wrote Fire Within, Ignatius Press. Fire Within is a summary of a biblical interpretation of John of the Cross and Teresa of Avila. That according, I think Thomas Dubé said that was his greatest work, in which he spent most time on. Fire Within. Okay, it's not easy reading, but we have a highly intelligent group here this morning, right? Very erudite group, if I can use that word. That is probably one of the best commentaries on his writings. Okay. Two other elements. One is that her final conversion, I would say the three key moments of her conversion, it would be her vision of hell, her vision of Christ on the cross, Ecce Homo. Okay, have any of you ever been to the Carmelite convent in Alhambra? Have you? Are you observant or kind of distracted? Did you ever notice the statue of Teresa of Avila? You're not very observant. You wouldn't be FBI agents, okay? Okay, well, it's this. I'll tell you. You see, above the altar, I'm pretty observant. Above the altar, you see Teresa, she's swooning. And you have an angel with a sword. You ever see that? Next time you go, pay attention. There's an angel with a sword. And the sword is going to pass through the heart of Teresa of Avila. You have your degree in mystical theology. That's called the transverberation of the heart. Okay? What is the transverberation of the heart? It's when the angel pierces her side and it goes through her heart. Why? So that her heart can be enlarged so she can love God even more. So that would be the final conversion of Teresa of Avila. In a certain sense, you could almost call it a stigmata, you could call that. Because a stigmata is the piercing of a part of the body. So Teresa of Avila. I love Teresa of Avila. Hopefully you do also. And I really feel if you really get to know Teresa of Avila, ask her today that she'll give you a real desire to go deeper in your prayer life. And you who have children, I very rarely in my life have I ever heard a child say that he likes to pray. I did, which is huge, no? I always liked to pray as a child. How good it would be if children like to pray. It's almost impossible. Can I say impossible? No, Dominic Savio liked to pray, didn't he? Okay? It's almost impossible. But I think parents have to work on that. I had good parents, and maybe a special grace, but I always liked to pray. And hopefully you like to pray. And I can teach you people to pray, but I can't give you the desire to pray. So let's pray that not only do we know to pray, but have a real desire to pray. As the deer yearns for the running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord, my God. St. Teresa of Avila, pray for us.